hot tub and get free immediate delivery. Financing available, Form Outdoors. Outdoor luxury, all in one place.
Listen, and you'll know.
First of all, if you haven't heard this yet, I love this.
Rod Arquette on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, remember I told you about the federal government intruding more and more into everything that we do each and every day in our lives, right? From what we eat, what we drive, how we heat our homes, how we cool our homes, what clothes we wear. I mean, everything, right? The federal government continues to encroach on our life even more. And I brought up the fact that the Biden administration, who is doing everything it can to wipe out anything that Donald Trump tried to do for the American people, right? And in doing so, they announced that this debate over the shower head, the type of shower head you would have to use in your shower to reduce the amount of water you use each and every day to clean up and, you know, go about your daily activities, right? And had a lot of pushback on that. Had a couple of people say, you know, there's a way to rig that. You can get the flow you want. But now we have a new one. The Department of Energy, under the wonderful leadership of one Joseph Biden, issued a proposal on Tuesday. Here's what it would do. The proposal is to repeal a Trump administration rule creating a new class of dishwashers that wash and dry in 1 hour. The administration's rule established a separate product class for dishwashers that clean and dry dishes within 1 hour, an action that excluded those appliances from current energy and water conservation standards. It had acted in response to a petition filed by the Competitive Enterprise Institute, that is a free market think tank, right? Former President Trump also frequently complained about efficiency standards that he claimed slowed everything down. Well, now administration has already moved to overturn a Trump administration change to the definition of a showerhead meant to let more water flow, and now they're arguing that the Trump administration didn't follow a law requiring an analysis of whether the rule changes to dishwashers, I'm not making this up, folks, were designed to achieve the best efficiency improvement that technologically is feasible and economically justified. So first of all, they propose a rule to do away with letting you have more water in your shower. Okay? Let it come out. Okay? Now they're doing away with the proposal Trump had put into place that said all these rules and regulations on dishwashers, we're going to toss them out. If you want to build one that washes and dries the dishes in 1 hour, have at it. Well, now the Biden administration said, see, here's another Trump rule that we're going to do away with and just make your life miserable. Oh, by the way, $61. That's what it cost me last night to fill up my car, which is a 15-gallon car. I paid $4.08 a gallon at a Sam's Club up in Layton. $4.08 a gallon, $61. Back in November, a gallon of gasoline here in this state cost me $2.37 a gallon, and I could fill up for about $36. Now it is costing me $61 to fill up. Folks, are you happy with that one? And I bet those of you who drive bigger vehicles myself or have to fill up more frequently, I just travel from here to Cadesville every day, and that's about all I do in the car that I drive. So I don't use up that much gas, and it'll last me 5 to 6 days. But $61, I mean, that's an increase of what, about $24 a fill-up. You take that, what, 3 or 4 times a month? Going to impact the budget. And we can thank Joe Biden for that one as well. How are you, everybody? Hello, Utah. Welcome to the Rod Arquette Show on this Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day. We get over this day, and then we head into the weekend, and we just love it. Now, busy show coming up today. We're going to talk about this Equal Act. How many of you have ever heard of the Equal Act? Well, it's an important act because it goes along with what people like Mike Lee and Donald Trump tried to do when it comes to criminal justice reform. Well, this act has the support of Utah Congressman Burgess Owens, and we'll talk about that and what that all means. Now, what is it about one particular women's soccer star on the women's Olympic team that is hard for a lot of us to like. I'm talking about Megan Rapinoe. Now, there are a lot of people out there. As a matter of fact, there was a column in ESPN the other day about discussing why people dislike Megan Rapinoe. Now, we're going to talk to somebody about that and why they think people do not like Megan Rapinoe, and maybe he'll strike a chord with you. A little bit later on, Greg Hughes is up and raring to go. We've got a lot to do today, so as always, we invite you to be a part of the program. Now, speaking of the Olympics, and I know many of you may have already heard this, but I'm going to play it again, because we finally have an American who is actually proud to represent America at the Tokyo Olympics this year. Now, we all know about Raven Saunders. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but she protested on the podium the other day. She won a medal, and she protested by forming an X with her arms above her head to show her protest against America. Then you had Quinn Berry. Remember, she turned her back on the national anthem and the flag at the Olympic trials. Well, she didn't get to make it to a medal stand, so we didn't have to worry about that. But now we have Tamara Menish-Stock. Now, she is an Olympic wrestler and now has a gold medal to her name. And she was ecstatic yesterday to drape herself in an American flag. She beat a wrestler from Nigeria 4-1 in the women's 68-kilogram freestyle wrestling final, making her just the second American woman to win a gold in the event. After the event, she was very, very happy. And listen what she had to say about America.
Myself, just by the grace of God, I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands, and I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coach has put me through, pays off. And every single time it does, and I get better and better. And it's so weird that there is no cap to the limit that I can do, and I'm excited to see what I have next.
Last question for you. That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it. And I'm so happy I get to represent USA.
I love it. I get to represent USA. She had a flag draped over her shoulders. She absolutely loved it. And I know many of you may have already heard that soundbite today. But I just love playing it because it is so nice to hear an athlete representing our country who is glad to represent our country and glad to be in the Olympics. And I wish more of that. And there were other great moments in the Olympics, some very touching moments. I know we tend to focus on the negative, but there are some other great touching moments that these Olympics have brought out. And we'll outline some of those, if you aren't aware of them, a little bit later on in the show. But for this Olympian, the gold medal winner, very, very happy. And she said, you know, she just loves representing the USA, go USA, USA, USA. And like I said, coming up a little bit later on, we'll talk about that as well. Quick note on, here's what I was looking for. Here are the other moments in the Olympics that you may not have recognized. Here's one. I haven't seen any of these, but let me give you an idea as to what people are calling some classy moments during the Olympics. There was a swimmer who won the gold, and he tossed it to a teammate in the bleachers. That's right, when the schedule for a swimming relay race was radically altered, it left one American athlete sitting out of the qualifying heats to stay fresh for the final. Then, in a display of sportsmanship, after winning the gold, Caleb Dressel, who was turning out to be one of the Olympic heroes, found the teammate in the stands and tossed him the medal. And then did you see the runners who collided with each other, but then they joined forces to cross the finish line together? I mean, that was a great, great moment. How about these high jumpers? These high jumpers, two of them, a real nail biter. One was from Italy. The other one was from Qatar. They each cleared their jumps in the high jump at 2.37 meters, roughly 7 feet, 9.25 inches. One had to be a silver medalist. And they said, no, we'll just share the gold. And that's what they did. And then you have a brother and sister who scored the first ever same-day gold medals. Believe they were wrestlers for Japan. And then this mathematics professor who won the cycling gold without a coach or any endorsement support. He's 30 years old. He has a PhD in mathematics. He won the gold medal for Austria. So, yes, we can talk about the ugly moments during the Olympics, but there are five classy moments during the Olympics as well. Good for them. And I love that wrestler from America. Go USA. All right, more to come here on the Rod Arquette Show in Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know. I want to talk to you about Utah housing market right now. It's great. Crazy. Home values have shot up like you wouldn't believe. Well, with how much your home has now gone up in value, doesn't it make sense to protect it and make sure that you've got a great roof on your home? You know, with the recent rain we've had, did anyone see any leaks in their home? There's nothing worse than hearing about a friend or a neighbor who had a leak in their roof. They didn't get it taken care of, and now they have got big, big problems. Well, if you do, that's why I want you to reach out to Roof Tech right now. Why? Because they're an awesome company. Their technicians are just great. They can inspect your home and find any issue, and their team will do what's right for you. Now, that may mean a repair. That may mean replacement or extend the life of your roof. They've got some cool new technology to do that. They can do it all. They can even offer Utah's best prices on solar if that's what you're interested in. So what are you waiting for today? Why not schedule a free consultation and inspection with Roof Tech? All you do is have to dial #250 and say Roof Tech. That's #250 and say Roof Tech. Or
podcasts. Just open the app and search Rewatch, the free iHeart app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
The Rod Arquette Show here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know, coming up in just about 15 minutes, why don't people like Megan Rapinoe? You know, she is the soccer star on the USA women's soccer team. A lot of people don't like her. Why? We'll explore that coming up at 4:35 right here on the Rod Arquette Show. You know, now, how often, I know this is a rarity, how often do we see actually 75% of Americans agreeing on anything these days? I mean, how often do you see that, right? Well, maybe apple pie. Would that get 75%? There are people out there who like and don't like apple pie. That may get it. But according to a new poll today, this one by Harvard Harris, it shows that 75% of Americans, 75% of Americans, have had enough of defund the police. They want more police officers on the street. Anyone surprised by that? Here's what it said. It said a vast majority of voters say more police are needed on the street amid concerns over the rise of violent crime across the country. 75% of the respondents said more police officers are needed, while only 25% said they do not need more cops on the street. 72% of voters also said they oppose defunding police. And a slim 52% majority say they support the controversial practice of stop and frisk in urban areas to deter gun violence. So what? 75% of Americans, according to this poll, say they agree that they don't like the idea of defunding police. Now, there is another survey out, this one done in Utah, and it takes a look at the what is called now the Equal Act. That is a historic act that is now just starting to make its way through Congress right now. And joining us on our Newsmaker line to talk about that is Molly Davis. Molly is the policy analyst there at Libertas Institute. Molly, always great to have you on the show. How many people do you think, Molly, know that if you're caught with crack cocaine, your punishment could be much more severe than if you're caught with powder cocaine? How many people actually know that?
Probably not many. I think, especially in conservative Utah, you know, using recreational cocaine isn't something that people spend too much time debating about. But, you know, it's illegal. It's bound to stay that way. But this summer, with the Equal Act, that's changing. The conversations are rising up, and Congress is debating changing the sentencing disparity between crack and powder cocaine.
How did this disparity come about? Was it during the Reagan administration's crackdown to just say no? Was it the epidemic of crack cocaine? How did it all come about to begin with, Molly?
Well, there was a big say no to drugs kind of campaign in the 80s and 90s. So it all started in 1986. Congress passed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act in 1986. And it actually created a 100-to-1 sentencing disparity between crack cocaine and powder cocaine. So So despite the fact that pharmacologically these substances are very, very similar, a person caught with crack cocaine would now be sentenced to the same amount of mandatory prison time for a person who has 100 times as much powder cocaine. So that was actually on the books all the way up until 2010. And in 2010, Congress realized this law is kind of irrational, and they changed it to an 18-to-1 sentencing disparity under the Fair Sentencing Act. And that was a step in the right direction, but it wasn't until Trump actually took office that he made that law retroactive. So when he signed the First Step Act, which it's a massive piece of criminal justice reform, probably the most significant criminal justice reform policy we've seen at the federal level in decades, he made that bill retroactive. And now, again, we're returning to the conversation to eliminate the disparity once and for all.
Did I hear you say a moment ago, Molly, that there's really no difference? Apparently, the AMA has said there's no difference between crack and powder cocaine. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, the chemical difference is obsolete. And, crack cocaine is, to use street terms, just more dirty than powder, which mm-hmm. is more pure. Crack is just often filled with different fillers and things. And so it's definitely irrational that we're putting people in prison with mandatory longer prison sentences for a substance that is almost identical to powder cocaine.
Your group, Molly, has a new poll out, of course, on how Utahns feel about this. What do the numbers say?
Yeah, well, an independent polling firm found 73% of Utahns support ending the federal sentencing disparity. And while that number on its own is astonishing, 69% of the voters who identify as strong conservatives support it, and 69% of voters who identify as Trump voters support this as well. And so it should be no surprise that, conservative Republican Representative Burgess Owens is a co-sponsor of this legislation, and there's many other Republican co-sponsors as well. So it really is a bipartisan piece of legislation.
Were you surprised by the numbers, Molly, especially among conservatives?
I was a little bit surprised, yes. Again, I didn't think this is something that people would care too much in general, but I think most rational people thinking about this, they understand why it's unfair to sentence people for much harsher prison sentences for crack cocaine.
Could this be happening without Donald Trump and his support of criminal justice reform, do you think, Molly?
No, I don't think so. I think President Trump and his ability to step up and support criminal justice reform, really just in general, but also, supporting the much lowered sentencing disparity really helps Republicans feel more comfortable at the congressional level tackling an issue that's not comfortable to talk about. It's not typically something that Republicans take on, but his ability to step up and change the laws, I think, have changed that forever.
You mentioned Burgess Owens is part of this. Where do other members of Utah's congressional delegation stand on this? Have they come out with a statement in support of this new act?
You know what? We are working on it. We're not exactly sure where everyone stands
mm-hmm,
yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to get all of the federal delegation to support. And that's something I think that will become more clear in the weeks to come.
All right. Final question for you, Molly. Where does the act stand now? Out of committee, on its way to the floor? Where does it stand now? Do you know?
Yeah. So it just passed the House Judiciary Committee by a vote of 36-5 with a lot of bipartisan support there. And now it has to move on to a floor vote. And if it gets that, hopefully it has a good chance of passing.
On our Newsmaker line, Molly Davis. Molly is a policy analyst with Libertas Institute, talking about a new poll out on the Equal
Podcasts. Just open the app and search Rewatch, the free iHeart app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Hey, give me back my freedom. Give me back my land.
The Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
You know, we talked the other day about why the ratings for the Summer Olympics in Tokyo are down. There are all kinds of theories on it. Some people say it's this time change. I think that has something to do with it. It does for me as well. I mean, I get up in the morning and I'll have two or three messages or emails on my phone as I take a look at it, telling me who won, like Simone Biles the other day, winning the bronze, and, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team. You know, so, you know, I don't like to see games that have already been played. That could be one reason. Some have blamed it on conservative talk radio and hosts like myself, who have made, maybe some say, a bigger deal out of the athlete activists at the games. Others have said it's too fragmented. You don't know when the games are on. But certainly, the numbers are down. Now, the question is, could it be some of the athletes? Not all of the athletes. One of whom I'm thinking about is Megan Rapinoe. Now, Megan Rapinoe is the face of the U.S. women's soccer team, in my opinion. They lost the other day to Canada, and now they'll play for the bronze. And I'll be honest, when I heard that they lost, a little smile came across my face. Well, why is it that people don't like Megan Rapinoe? Joining us on our Newsmaker line to talk about that is Stacey Matthews. She writes under the name Sister Told You on redstate.com, and she's joining us on our Newsmaker line right now. Stacey, how are you? And welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rod. Thanks for having me on to talk about this.
All right. Did you have a little smile on your face the other day when you found out the U.S. women did not beat Canada and will not go for a gold?
Well, I don't know if it was a smile, but it was kind of a told you so kind of thing. You know, because, like I wrote in my piece, the loss, in my opinion, it is indicative of how they lost focus. You know, I think a lot of the people, Megan Rapinoe among them, you know, focused so much on being woke, you know, going into the Olympic Games, that by the time they got there, expectations fell dramatically. I mean, they also lost their first, the opening round game against Sweden as well, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, in my opinion, it's just an example of how they should have focused on something other than being woke. They should have focused on trying to win the game and not trying to score cool points with the woke crowd.
Well, and as you point out, Stacey, what I find even interesting as well is that ESPN would appoint somebody to do a story on why people don't like this soccer player. I found that to be very interesting.
Well, what kind of rubbed me the wrong way about the question that the reporter asked was the fact that she assumed that just because Megan Rapinoe was an athlete, she would have no bearing on the lives and livelihoods of the people who criticized her, which is not true. She's a public figure. She's a powerful public figure. I know some people would probably not agree with that, but she's a powerful public figure. She's become an ally for the White House. She advocates public policy positions that can have an impact on the lives of every American, whether we're talking about the equal pay issue for women or the transgender issue, which, you know, she's advocated for transgender women who are men who identify as women to be allowed to play in women's sports. And, you know, those do have impacts on everybody's lives. And that, for that reason, that's why she has a lot of critics on the right and even some on the left.
How about the fact that in her situation right now on the U.S. women's soccer team, she's representing the country? As you point out, it's a little bit different if you're in the NFL or the NBA and you're representing a team from a city, but she's representing our country. And she does some things that irritates people. Does that play into it, do you think?
It absolutely does play into it. Like you said, and like I wrote in my piece, It's way different from being like Colin Kaepernick playing for San Francisco. As annoying as what he did is, she's playing for a national team. She's representing our country on the world stage. Everybody that goes to the Olympics and plays a game there for the United States represents our country. And for her to go there and to disrespect the flag, you know, turn her back on the national anthem as it's being played and whatnot, I think it's disgraceful. I mean, if you want to protest and speak out or whatever, that's fine. But don't make the Olympic Games, where you're supposed to be showing pride for your country, don't make that the place that you do it.
She argues, of course, for equal pay for women versus men when it comes to soccer. How much does that play into it, Stacey?
Well, for people who are informed about the issue, she actually has undercut her own arguments on the equal pay issue. You know, she said that, you know, like a lot of people who make the argument that women are get the shaft in comparison to men when it comes to what they get paid for doing the same job. A couple of years ago, she appeared on an interview with Rachel Maddow, and she said the best way that people could support the women's soccer team was to buy tickets to their games and to buy their merchandise. Well, yeah, let capitalism let the process play out. And if you know, you have the same amount of enthusiasm for the women's team as you do the men's team, then yeah, let's talk again about your pay. But until we get to that point, I don't want to hear any whining about it. It's kind of embarrassing to me as a woman to have her. I mean, she's somebody who, in addition to what she gets paid for playing on the women's soccer team, she gets hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in endorsement deals. And she's sitting here complaining that women don't get paid enough. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, you know, Stacey, I hope this doesn't play into it. But the fact that she's gay and she's a gay activist, does that play into it? And maybe not the hate, but maybe the dislike for her.
Well, I'm sure there probably is some dislike for her on that basis. My dislike is not because of the fact that she's a lesbian. It's the fact that she thinks that she can be a spokesperson for both women and the LGBT community, specifically the transgender community. Those two groups don't mesh. I mean, you can't argue for women's rights and then turn around and say men should be allowed to play in women's sports. It doesn't work that way. I mean, one cancels out the other. If you allow men to participate in women's sports, men who identify as women to participate in women's sports, then you basically eroded women's sports as we know them. And, mm-hmm. and you may as well not even have separate sports at that point. You know, so it just, that's what bothers me about her activism, is the fact that she thinks that she can do both, and that nobody is going to see through it and call her out on it.
Do we see too much of her? I mean, I noticed she's now on a new campaign for, I think it's Subway Sandwiches. When she comes back, she'll probably be on every late-night talk show and be interviewed. I mean, does America see too much of her? Does that have something to do with it as well?
Well, I'm sure that there's a little bit of Olympics overload in general. It seems like that the media in general just pushes the Olympics on people, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in the aftermath of the pandemic. The media wants to have sports stuff to talk about, and they push all these athletes. And Megan Rapinoe is not the only woke athlete out there who gets a lot of media attention. You know, Gwen Berry is another one. She's a hammer thrower, and she turned her back on the American flag about a month or so ago. She got a lot of media attention about it. She threw a tantrum on Twitter about it, and, you know, the media made a big deal and a big fuss about it. So the media has a lot to do with why conservatives like me and you don't like some of these people, because they oversaturate the internet and radio and television with images and interviews with these people, and it just makes them even more annoying.
Stacey, as always, love reading your articles, love having you on the show. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Rod. Take care.
All right, that is Stacey Matthews. She writes under the name of Sister Told Ya, a contributor at redstate.com. If you've never checked out that website, I invite you to do so. Redstate.com. The Rod Arquette Show continues here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know there are a lot of financial services out there for you to take a look at. But what about Trajan Wealth? And why would you choose Trajan Wealth over other financial services? Well, first of all, they are a full-service financial service. They can help you on your taxes, help you with your investment portfolio, talk to you about Social Security, talk to you about retirement, talk to you about generational wealth. They can do it all at Trajan Wealth. And because they are a fiduciary, they are licensed to put you first. They empower you by giving you all the information you need so you can make the correct decision when it comes to setting up your investment portfolio and your financial future for the future as well. So, you know, why not sit down and work with the wonderful team at Trajan Wealth? They have an office right here in Draper, and it is open now to sit down and have a one-on-one meeting with you, your spouse, maybe your family, and talk about your finances. Check them out today. Set up an appointment today at Trajan Wealth. Give them a call right now, 801-899-7600. That's 801-899-7600, or you can do so online at TrajanWealth.com. Let me spell that for you. It's TRAJAN.
833-ED-NO-FUN. For a free consultation and trial treatment, a $650 value, put the happy back in your relationship.
The Rod Arquette Show on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS, listening, you'll know. Greg Hughes coming your way tonight at 6:05. Greg will be with us for the full half hour tonight. We'll hear what the Citizen Hughes has to say about what's going on in America today. And here in the state of Utah, that's coming up at 6:05 tonight. Now, what do you call it when you miss expectations by almost half? Now, most people would call that a failure, right? Apparently, Joe Biden just calls it another Wednesday. ADP, that's the checking firm, has released its latest job figure showing that the economy created only 330,000 jobs, missing an expected mark of 653 by an astronomical amount, from 653 down to just 330. The economy appears to be teetering on the edge after Democrats began threatening more COVID mitigation measures, like mandating masks and mandating vaccine. Now, the caveat here is that ADP does its own survey, and the government's numbers may be a little bit different, but the differences are typically not as large as they are right now. It certainly, it'd certainly be a huge surprise if the government did come back with a with numbers nearly 100% higher. Regardless, it's undeniable right now that Joe Biden has taken an organic recovery, and I think he's run it off the cliff. I mean, talking about lockdowns and mask mandates, scaring the daylights out of people. Plus, look at the cost of everything right now. I mentioned, you know, a short time ago, if you weren't listening, $4.08 a gallon for gasoline where I filled up last night at Sam's Club in Layton. A 15-gallon tank. That's typical, I think, what many of you have now. $61 to fill that baby up. $61. And everywhere you go, you look out to go to get something to eat, even for lunch. Lunches typically, what, $8 to $10 maybe? Now up more like $12 to $14 for a lunch nowadays. I mean, everywhere you look, things are simply going up. And a lot of people are going to start pointing at Joe Biden. Yet here you have the Republicans, some Republicans, going along with Democrats to spend $1.2 trillion pumping more money into the economy as part of an infrastructure plan. And they're only doing it because they think, well, we can at least get one reasonable approach because everybody knows what's coming up next. The Democrats are going to use reconciliation, and they are going to push through their wish list, which will amount to $5.5 trillion, pumping even more money into the U.S. economy. Inflation getting out of control, and there's nothing seeming to stop it. But here you have this report on jobs today showing how bad job creation is going right now. Expected to be around 650,000, comes in only at 330,000. Now, Barack Obama. Today's Barack Obama's birthday. He was planning on a big soiree at his home at Martha's Vineyard, inviting anywhere from 500 to 700 guests. Well, in light of the Delta variant hitting COVID-19 right now, it was announced today that Obama is going to significantly shrink the size of his giant birthday party. As I mentioned, they were planning anywhere from 500 to 700 people at the event. Now, the outdoor event planned months ago, is now going to be a bit smaller. Only family and close friends are going to be invited to be a part of the party. As a spokesman for the president said, due to the new spread of the Delta variant over the past week, the president and Mrs. Obama have decided to significantly scale back the event to include only family and close friends. People like George Clooney, Oprah Winfrey, and others apparently are not going. So, sorry, President Obama, you're going to have a smaller party this year because of the Delta variant. Too bad, isn't it? All right, a lot more to come. Hour number two on its way. Don't forget Greg Hughes joining us tonight at 6:05 here on the Rod Arquette Show.
For over 30 years. Call now for a free bid. Dial #250, then say SNS Roofing.
We're live, we're local, and We're everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. How are you, everybody? Welcome to the Rod Arcaccio. Now, I'm doing this tongue-in-cheek, folks, so bear with me for just a minute, if you don't mind. Apparently, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is now giving me an excuse why I don't have to go to church anymore. And you're like, huh? Well, the church has been working on updating this handbook. And they've been doing that for a couple of years now, right? Well, the newest edition, or an updated version of a section of the handbook today, basically said that LDS saints, Latter-day Saints, members of the LDS Church, should welcome refugees to their communities and keep church settings free of politics. That's according to the latest update in the two-year project to update the handbook. Now, the update to the general handbook, which was released online today, and it said this. It said, as part of their responsibility to care for those in need, church members offer their time, talents, and friendships to welcome members of the refugees as members in their communities. And it also points out that church lessons and whatever is discussed at church should avoid politics. An update to the entry on political and civic authority warns against political advocacy in church meetings. Political choices and affiliation should not be the subject of any teaching or advocating church settings. It said leaders ensure that church meetings and activities focus on the Savior and His gospel. Members should not judge one another based on political matters. Faithful LDS saints can belong to a variety of political parties and vote for a variety of candidates. All should feel welcome in church settings, but they advise people and recommend members of the LDS faith maybe avoid politics at church. Let me tell you what happens to me because of the role I'm in each and every day. Whenever people come up and talk to me, they want to talk politics. I mean, you know, and I don't blame them, and I always accommodate them and try not, especially in church, I try not to avoid it. But you can't avoid it sometimes. I mean, and I don't get into heated discussions with people if they're Democrats, and I actually do know a few, and they come up. So I think the church today is kind of saying, hey, Rod, because of the role you're in, you don't go to church anymore. I know, I'm tongue-in-cheek, folks, but I found that to be rather funny today. All right, let's talk about COVID-19 and the vaccine. There was a really terrific article today in the, two articles I want to talk to you about. The first one is in the Washington Times today. It was written by Kelly Sadler. Kelly talks about, you know, she won't get, why she explains why she won't get vaccinated for COVID-19. And I wonder how many of you can relate to what Kelly says. And here's what she basically writes. She said, I got struck down like nothing I've ever felt before. I was bedridden. I couldn't taste. I couldn't eat. I had to excuse myself from a boardroom meeting because I wasn't feeling well. I never whimpered out. I never let illnesses be an excuse. But there I was, sick and needing a way out. I left. She said, I spent a week in bed. I canceled all news appearances. I couldn't respond to texts. My boys, then 8 and 7, caught it too. I took them to the pediatrician, who assured us that this was an awful flu season. Although we all tested negative for the flu, there were variants. That was late January of 2020. We had coronavirus. This I know. None of us had comorbidities, so within 12 days, we all recovered. We went on with life until there was actually a government shutdown because of a fear of an unknown virus unleashed from China, 15 days to slow the spread. Antibody test? I couldn't get one. They were all sourced from the Communist Party of China, of which my doctor assured me we couldn't trust. As soon as the pandemic plagued us, I wanted to know, did I have it or not? I was out of luck. Antibody tests are still scarce. And instead of pushing them to see how many Americans have built a natural immunity, the Biden administration insists we all go get vaccines. Now, Kelly goes on to write this. She says, of the millions of unvaccinated, it is estimated that roughly half have natural immunity from a prior infection. A February study in Nature used antibody screenings in the summer of 2020. And found that there has been 7 times as many actual cases as confirmed cases, meaning more people had contracted and survived COVID-19 than had confirmed positive COVID-19 tests. In New York, a study out of the University of Albany and the State Department of Health found 23% of the city's population had antibodies by the end of March, the first month of New York's pandemic. I'm talking about March 2020. Yet, she says, when discussing herd immunity, the federal government refuses to discuss natural immunity or even build these numbers into their health equations. Dr. Anthony Fauci estimates 70 to 85% of the population will have to be vaccinated to reach herd immunity. But he ignores those who already have had contact with the virus. Even Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she writes, who's the director of the Center for Disease Control, has also played down natural immunity, underestimating it by half in a February interview with the Journal of American Medical Association. Our public health overlord, she writes, insists vaccinations are the only way. If they even bring up natural immunity, we dummies may be de-incentivized to get a shot. They don't want us to have an excuse, so they'd rather control us with misleading stats and figures. Here's where she comes down to it, and I think this is what most people are saying nowadays. If our government officials were honest, they would push antibody tests with the same veracity as vaccinations. Instead, they become fear-mongers on behalf of Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, all while downplaying the body's natural ability. It's malfeasance at the highest level. I think she is spot on with that one. Natural immunities. They never talk about them. They don't talk about it with people who've already had COVID-19 like we did. And I mentioned, we had it back in Christmas time of last year. And we weren't going to get a vaccine, but then we wanted to do a little vacation. We wanted to go back to Hawaii, where my wife and I enjoy spending some time together. And to be able to get into there, you basically had to have a COVID-19 vaccination. So we went and got ours. But we felt, and we had heard, since we already had already contracted the virus, that we really didn't need a vaccination. So when you hear the number out there, and you'll hear it often now, about the unvaccinated, they never talk about those people who are unvaccinated but have not heard but natural immunity because they've already had the vaccine. So when you hear people bring up this, well, you know, they haven't been vaccinated yet, they're unvaccinated, ask them about if they have in fact had the vaccine or had and contracted COVID-19. I bet a lot of them would say, yeah, we did. I mean, Greg Hughes, who will be on the show shortly, he told us, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, Ray, that he went and had an antibody test. He said he just wanted to check it out. And it showed him exactly that he had the antibodies to fight the vaccine. How many of you believe out there that because you've had the virus and you made it through, and as Kelly Sadler said, you know, it was 12 days. It was pretty rough 12 days. For my wife and I think we each, I want to say, about 10 days. It was pretty rough. But after that, we kind of felt, well, we've had it. It's like getting the flu. Well, I've had it. It's rare the flu will come a second time around. We've already had chicken pox. It's rare chicken pox will come a second time around. So why do you need that vaccination? Now, that leads me to this. Because I'm starting to see this. You have hysteria again over COVID-19 and now the Delta variant. You have inflation that is running out of control. And you have a situation down on the border that is also out of control. You have Joe Biden, who couldn't answer Peter Ducey's question yesterday from Fox News on what he's doing about the border. Because we know what's going on down on the border. Hundreds, if not tens of thousands of people are coming into this country illegally each and every day. Are they being tested for COVID? And if they are testing positive, are they being sent back? And we know the answer to that. So why is the silent majority all of a sudden starting to turn a bit angry? And I want to ask you that. Why are you angry today? Is it because we have a president who's inept, in my opinion? Is it because, you know, the fear-mongering that's taking place here over COVID-19 and the Delta variant? Is it because inflation is running rampant and you're starting to see it in your monthly budget each and every month? More and more things are costing you more and more, and in some cases, you can't find them at times. Could it be because of the border crisis? And we know what's going on down there. Another record month. 227,000 people came into this country illegally in the month of June alone. And in the first 6 months of this year, now 7 months of this year, almost 1 million people have come into this country illegally. And Joe Biden says, now we're managing it. We haven't got a crisis on the border. Is that why you're angry? So why is the silent majority out there, people like you and I, we're an easygoing lot for the most part. We most time let bygones be bygones. You know, if crazy Uncle Bob tends to go off at Thanksgiving dinner, we politely say, you know, pass the cranberry juice. We've been known as the silent majority. But I think the silent majority is starting to stand up. And there are many reasons why. Could it be critical race theory? Could it because of the border? Could it be because of the border crisis? Could it be because the money you're normally getting isn't going as far as it used to? There are a lot of reasons out there, and I want to know why you're angry today. 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010. On your cell phone, all you do is have to dial #250 and say, hey, Rod, and we'll get to your calls. Coming up right here on the Rod Arquette Show. All right, one thing that will make you angry right now is if your air conditioner goes out, right? In the heat of the summer, you do not want that to happen at all. That's why I want you to get online, find the number, and call Any Hour Services. If you're having trouble with your air conditioner right now, or you think it may need a tune-up, why not give the wonderful technician at Any Hour Services a call and have them come out and take a look at things for you? You know, they're family-owned. They've been around since 1961. And they service a large area from Ogden to Nephi to Willow to Park City. You'll see their red trucks all over the place. Now, the great thing, there are many wonderful things that I can tell you about Any Hour Services. But let me tell you one of the things that I really love. The technician shows up. They take a look at your issue. And there's no pressure to sell you anything. They don't do that. All they do is educate you, the homeowner. They give you options. They let you make the decision that's best for your situation. And if the purchasing option is there, you're going to meet with a supervisor, not with one of their technicians. So why not reach out to Any Hour Services right now? All you do is have to Google Any Hour Services for the contact information or go online to
something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey.
The Rod Arquette Show here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know, as I mentioned a moment ago, I think for the most part, Americans, they have a lot of common sense. They're fair-minded. They're relatively easygoing. They kind of let bygones be bygones for the most part. But occasionally there are things that rile us up. And I think what we've seen in the last year and a half, 2 years now, in how we've responded to this COVID-19 pandemic has riled a lot of people up. The election certainly did. Now you've got Joe Biden riling people up because prices are simply out of control. Let me give you an example of what upsets people. Yesterday on CNN with Aaron Burnett, Dr. Francis Collins, who is the director of the National Institutes of Health, went on with Aaron Burnett on CNN and said because of the COVID-19 and the Delta variant now, he is recommending that parents wear masks in the home. Here's what he said. And then Dr. Fauci has to come on and say, no, that's wrong. I want to play that soundbite for you again. This is from CNN. This is Aaron Burnett asking Dr. Fauci if, in fact, this Collins guy, Francis Collins, who's head of the NIH, can explain why parents need to wear a mask in the home.
Parents of unvaccinated kids should be thoughtful about this, and the recommendation is to wear masks there as well. I know that's uncomfortable. I know it seems weird, but it is the best way to protect your kids.
So Dr. Collins came out later and tweeted that he meant to say vaccinated parents in high-risk communities should mask up in public indoor settings, but not at home. This caused a lot of panic and confusion among parents, of course, Dr. Fauci. Could you clear this once and for all? I mean, because obviously what the director said this morning was pretty unequivocal, right? And then it changed. So tell us the bottom line.
It's very simple, Aaron. He misspoke. He's a person of high integrity, and he came out with a tweet and said, I apologize. I misspoke. I got it wrong. Parents do not need to wear masks in their own home. That is the right answer. Dr. Collins said he misspoke, and I give him great credit for admitting it very, very quickly.
How often have medical experts, health experts in this country misspoke about this? And that's one of the things. One of the things I think that is angering people. All right, let's get to your phone calls. 888-570-8010. 888-570-8010. On your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod, why are all of a sudden you turning angry? Let's go to the phones. We begin with Gina in Vineyard tonight. Hi, Gina. How are you? Hello, Gina.
Yes, hi. Sorry.
That's fine. Right, yeah, I'm there. Go ahead, Gina.
Okay. Hey, so you spoke earlier, you wanted to hear from people who have had COVID and feel like they don't need to get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is me, 100%. And I don't understand. I've never understood why nobody is talking about natural immunity. I just, it irritates me so bad. And anytime I bring it up, oh, well, you don't know, you don't know. Yes, I do. We have hundreds of years or 100 years of scientific fact that our bodies can do this. And anyway, it just I'm one of those people who is like, I don't need to get the vaccine. I am naturally immune.
How bad was did you contract the coronavirus, and how bad was it for you, Gina?
I did, from my 75-year-old grandma. And strep throat was way worse for me than COVID.
Really? Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. All right, Gina, thank you. Appreciate your phone call. That's the point. From now on, when they talk about the number of unvaccinated people, ask them how many of the unvaccinated are not getting vaccinated because of their natural immunity. Not herd immunity, natural immunity. Let's go to Dave and Logan and see what Dave has to say tonight. Dave, how are you? Welcome to the Rod Arquette Show.
Good. Thanks for having me, Rod. I'm just a little frustrated. I contracted the COVID late January, early February 2020,
mm-hmm.
and contracted it once again in October. So I was frustrated. I am frustrated about, you're hearing about this natural immunity, and yeah, you can have natural immunity, and I'm living proof. I've been tested, blood tested, confirmed case twice, and so I chose to get vaccinated after, you know, it's another 8 months, so I don't think that this, even though you get natural immunity from it, it doesn't necessarily keep you from getting it yet again.
Yeah,
I didn't want it a third time.
Yeah, Dave, the second time you got it, was it as severe as the first time?
I only had a few symptoms. My first time was pretty bad. The second time, I had a lot more of the symptoms. I had a wide range of symptoms the
mm-hmm.
second time around.
Mm-hmm.
But the severity wasn't as bad, but the overall I had a lot more symptoms. The first time I didn't, no taste or smell, I didn't lose any of that, but have just a couple, you know, I run a fever for about 10 days.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thank you. Appreciate that. The debate over natural immunity. People feel, you just heard Dave, he was talking about it. He got it twice. I haven't heard about people getting it twice, but Dave did. And he said, the second time I've had it, I was done with this, I want to go to get a vaccine. But he made that choice. Nobody is telling him to do that. Let's go to Harriman and see what Chris has to say tonight here on the Rod Arquette Show. Chris, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, Rod. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just wanted to comment that the people who are causing all these economic problems and raising the prices are usually filthy rich, and they don't feel it like we normal people. That's what makes me the maddest right now.
Yeah, it does put, you know, we have had an economic burden placed on many of us out here. And yes, Utah's economy is doing very, very well. Our unemployment numbers are down, and we understand that. But everybody's feeling the pinch. We all have over the last year and a half. Yet the people at the top, how much have they been impacted by this? I think that's what angers people, too. All right. Why is the silent majority so angry right now? More of your calls and comments coming up on the...
New each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One man, one goal. Yeah, one vision.
The Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
Well, we've got a border crisis that seems to be getting worse each and every day. We have inflation that is running out of control. We have hysteria being created by the Delta variant of COVID-19. And we have a president who we wonder at times if he's up to doing the job. But why is the silent majority getting angrier and angrier every day? 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010. On your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod, let's go. Let's talk with Carrie, who is in Roy tonight here on the Rod Arquette Show. Carrie, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What are your thoughts on this, Carrie?
Well, I've been exposed to COVID like 3 times, and I still haven't even contracted the disease yet. So I'm kind of... upset about everybody keep telling me to get the vaccine when it's like I'm not getting the disease. Why do I need the vaccine?
How were you exposed?
I'm not even spreading it because
yeah. How were you exposed to it, Carrie?
My grandson.
Okay, you came in contact with people.
Yeah, my grandson's had it. We went out for my daughter's birthday before we even knew they had it, and the next day my daughter went and got her boys tested because she had to get them back into daycare, and they came back positive. And so we went, we got tested, and we came back negative. And then I was exposed again in another group setting and told the next day that one of the people that we were at the party with was exposed to COVID, and mm-hmm. we came in close contact as well. We mm-hmm. like hugged and shook hands and everything like that, and I still have yet to contract the disease.
Do you feel pressure, Carrie, to go get a vaccine?
I do. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're being told that, oh, they're going to go door to door, make sure you get that vaccine. I was like, well, then I won't answer my door. It's like, why force me to get something I don't want?
All right, Carrie, thank you. Roland is in Lehigh tonight on the Rod Arquette Show. Hi, Roland.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rod.
You're welcome.
As far as what upsets me, from day one of this coronavirus pandemic, I looked up on the CDC's website, and from day one, we've effectively cured every single other virus out there except for coronavirus. H1N1, the common flu, the cold, it's all been cured according to the CDC's website, and I have a screenshot of it. There's been where are the regular viruses? And to me, it's indicative of a major cover up, and it's all about control.
And is that what makes you angry, Roland? You're just saying, "Come on, guys, enough's enough here. Let us live."
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm not afraid of a virus that has less than 1% fatality rate. Yeah, I have more of a chance of dying going down the freeway.
Yeah, you sure do. All right, Roland, thank you. And Heber, Jerry is joining us tonight on the Rod Arquette Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Rod. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I had COVID. I'm a doctor. My staff got it. She was sick for 2 weeks. We had to quarantine the office. During that quarantine time, 5 days after my exposure to her, I took the PCR test and tested positive for COVID. So I immediately started taking the hydroxychloroquine, the zinc, the vitamin D, and I even took the horse ivermectin. My wife says that when I eat oatmeal in the morning, I whinny with delight
Jerry, did you say you were a doctor? You said you were a doctor, correct?
I am. Correct. Yes.
Okay.
What? So I believe in the alternative treatments. They work. Another thing, after I tested positive, I took the alternative treatments. Then I waited a month, and I took the COVID T-detect test that tests the T-cells that is the marker for natural immunity, and I tested positive on that. So I show that I had it. I had no symptoms, no fever. With taking the alternative treatments, it attenuated all of those symptoms that everyone talks about, no smell or taste problems, brain fog, and so on and so forth. I believe in the alternative treatments, and I'm very upset that we're being brainwashed into taking this vaccine, which is really not a vaccine. It's a DNA altering device.
That's true.
It has never been approved by FDA. So alternative work, I'm convinced of that.
All right, Jerry. Thank you. Appreciate your sharing your information with us here on the Rod Ar Kent Show. All right, more of your calls coming up. Our number to call, all you do is have to dial #250 and say, hey, Rod. Or you can give us a call at 888-570-8010. Why are you, the silent majority, angry now? What is getting you to this point? We'll take your calls coming up right here on the Rod Ar Kent Show. I want to talk to you about selling your home right now. A lot of people out there trying to sell their home, they want to be able to sell it quickly and get as much money as possible. We know the Greater Salt Lake Area real estate market is probably the hottest market in the country right now. That means you can probably move your home fairly quickly. But you need somebody to work with you, somebody who can trust and who has the experience to make sure everything is deemed done the right way. And that person is Justin Udy and his wonderful team, Team Real Estate. Team Real Estate has won numerous sales awards over the last several years. And Justin, well, you can depend on him to work with you and get your home sold. They know how to stage, how to market. They do all the paperwork for you. They have a 14-day guarantee. List your home with Justin. Not under contract within those 14 days. He'll sell it for no commission whatsoever. He's with the Century 21 Everest Group. If you want to find out more, just go online. Register at JustinUdy.com. That's JustinUdy.com. You'll be asked to fill out a form, and then someone from his office will get back in touch with you after you fill out that form. So check it out today.
Prove today.
Low Book Sales. LowBookSales.com.
The Rod Ar Kent Show here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Don't forget the Jesse Kelly Show coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock in just about 15 minutes. Greg Hughes, former Speaker of the House, one-time candidate for governor here in the state of Utah, will join us. And he's got a lot to say about a lot of things tonight. That's coming your way following our news update at the top of the hour. So why is the silent majority in Utah and around the country turning angry? A lot of issues out there. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. So let's get right back to your calls tonight. Let's go to Steve, who's waiting patiently on I-15. Steve, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rod. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reason that most of us are so mad is it feels like we're being lied to. In other words, you get the flu, and you go in and you get tested, and they call it COVID. And so it just seems like we've forgotten that we've had the flu for the last 100 years, and people do die from the flu. But then the other thing that you might consider is I looked at a chart that says, you know, here's deaths by car crashes, swine flu, and all these other, like a matrix. It would be great to get an accurate one and have, you know, someone like you show that and say, because the ones that I've seen, COVID is way at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, it is.
And we don't shut the freeway down. And we don't shut the freeway down just because we have car crashes.
Yeah.
So that's the frustrating part.
Well, let me ask you, Steve, why haven't we put this into proper perspective? You're right. Car crash numbers of deaths from other causes really outweigh COVID deaths. So why don't we take a look at this, say, overall, this is where it ranks. I mean, do people forget that? Are we scaring people into that? What do you think's going on?
Yeah, well, I think it's information. I think we need a credible, I mean, I don't know how accurate some of these charts are, but it would be great to get one that is dead accurate and then distribute that to everybody and say, listen, here's just the reality of it. and then make some good decisions based on that.
Good point, Steve. Thank you. Cindy is in Provo tonight on the Rod Arquette Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Rod. Hey, I don't know if everyone out there is feeling this, but it seems like we're being hit in so many different areas that, you know, at first I thought, is this about control? I mean, we're told to get the vaccine and wear masks while thousands of people are coming over the border and everything's going sky high. I wonder if there's something more sinister going on. Like they set up right up straight that they wanted socialism, you know, when they were having the election. And I'm not a conspiracy person, but in my gut, it feels like there's something wrong.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do. They're those in power right now feel the federal government is the ultimate answer to almost everything, if not everything. And they come from the approach, do as I say, not as I do. And that's what we're telling you. But we see elected officials around the country, like the mayor of Washington, D.C., last weekend, telling everybody in D.C. to mask up, and she goes to a wedding and is caught not wearing a mask. And then what does she do? Attack the reporter who found her doing so. That's what's going on in this country, and you need to wake up and see it. Let's go to Chad, who's in Sandy tonight. Chad, welcome to the Rod Arquette Show.
Hey, Rod, thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of a different perspective. So I own and operate a fairly good-sized mortuary here in the Salt Lake Valley. And so I wanted to just give some perspective that throughout this whole pandemic, we have not taken care of one what we would call fluke COVID death, meaning someone who doesn't have comorbidities and many problems. And it's very common for us to take care of, you know, people who die from the flu, you know, different fluke deaths. But it's just interesting that we have not, and not to say that other mortuaries haven't, but I've talked to several mortuaries here in the Valley, and we're all seeing basically the same thing, you know, that the people that are passing away from COVID are in their 80s, a laundry list of comorbidities, basically people that we would see in the next 6 months anyway. And the stat that's very interesting is that our numbers are the same.
Wow. Sorry to cut you off there, Chad. That's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, that puts it into perspective. That's what the American people want. Shoot straight. Tell us what is going on, and don't try and shade it. Don't try and lie.
The team, the money you'll save, and the healthier life you could lead. The way to quit is the first step. For a personalized plan, visit waytoquit.org.
We are live, we are local, and of course everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. How are you, everybody? Hour number three of the Rod Arquette Show on this Wednesday hump day. We get through today. We get ready to head into the weekend. Looks like some warmer temperatures are coming our way. May get a little bit of this smoke blown out of here. We can only hope for that. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, the debate over whether women should be required to sign up for the draft. There are some Republicans and even some Democrats who are pushing for that idea. We'll talk with a woman who says she's a feminist, and she's opposed to the idea. We'll find out why. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour, but time now to talk with Greg Hughes.
Hey, gotta talk, babe, okay?
Greg Hughes, I can tell you right now, there ain't no doctor to cure you. I can tell you that. Now, before we get started tonight, just a quick little reminder. Your Steelers are playing my Cowboys tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame game. I know it's just an exhibition game, but I just want to let you know that the Cowboys and Steelers are hooking up tomorrow night.
Well, that is a classic matchup. Now, the only time you can watch, especially the first exhibition game in the NFL, it's like the first offensive series
and
for
that's
both
it.
Teams.
Yeah, and that's it. Right and that's it.
That's it. That's it. You know, temper the expectations, folks. I mean, that's what preseason football is, but especially the first one.
It's awful. All right, shall we talk about one Andrew Cuomo?
Oh, you want to talk bad medicine? Bad medicine. You want to, there is some really bad medicine that's getting administered in that creepy governor's office. I mean, this guy's a problem, Rod. I mean, he became so famous, he won an Emmy because he was Mr. COVID. We're gonna get this. I'm blunt. I talk with my hands. I'm real. And he was, you saw all Hollywood fawning over him. and everybody, they actually wanted him to be an emergency replacement for Biden because they knew that Biden couldn't string a few sentences together. And how are they going to prop him up for a whole election? So there was serious talk about him running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at today. I mean, the breaking news happening today. I know yesterday this dominated the wires that, you know, that this, the attorney general, who, by the way, is a Democrat, came out and after interviewing 170 people, thousands of pages of documents, concluded that he has violated federal and state laws and has sexually harassed staffers and others. I mean, it's not a and when this guy says, well, it's political. Governor Cuomo, are you aware that these are Democrats saying this about you? I mean, if you are disparaging the politics of Democrat politics, I mean, then where do we go from there? I mean, as a Republican, I feel like the Democrats do a pretty good job of pummeling Republicans. But now he's a victim of his own party and its politics. It has no merit. And this is the comeuppance you get when you wag your finger at Brett Kavanaugh and you are so quick in this environment that we're in where it's not innocent until proven guilty. But Governor Cuomo was one of these kinds that jumped out in front, one of the condemned people. Right away, I believe. I'm going to believe him. He gave no space for another side of the story. Now who wants another side of the story? It's this guy. I mean, it's a joke. This is what I love too. It is no secret that the New York City mayor, who's another real character, Mayor Bill de Blasio, those two hate each other.
Okay? Oh, do they ever?
This is like Godzilla versus Mothra. Okay. Bill de Blasio comes out today just swinging. He's like, you know, he says that there should be that Cuomo should face criminal charges now. Forget impeachments in the state assembly in the House there. Forget a state criminal charges now. I mean, he is just pouncing on this opportunity. And then the state assembly, controlled by Democrats, supermajority, they're saying they got the votes to start impeachment right now. They got the votes to start it. So, you know, I was starting to think that this guy's going to survive it because they tend to do it. But I honestly think you heard Biden say today or yesterday that he should resign. I think it might have been today. And now you got guys like Al Franken, the former senator, saying, I mean, I'm sure he's watching this. He got run out of town because he did some creepy things himself. They're all just creeps, you know, these weirdos. Anyway, he's watching this saying, is he going to be held to the same standard? If Cuomo doesn't get impeached or he doesn't resign, this whole Me Too movement, nobody
it's
can
dead.
Ever say it out yeah, loud with
it's
a straight
dead.
Face.
Yep, it's dead. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Greg. I mean, let's say the assembly there in the state of New York, which is their legislature, drag this out a little bit more. Do you think by dragging it out, they're kind of helping him ride this thing out?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely
sure they are.
They are. They're trying to put some time, because look at how this lost momentum from when the allegations surfaced mm-hmm. and the time mm-hmm. that the investigation took place. This guy was strutting around like the, you know, like he was the king of the walk for a while. And then this comes back. And so, yeah, the longer you can stretch it out, you know, get to a new news cycle, distract the American people and the people of New York with other things going on. Yeah, it helps him survive this wave that he's feeling right now. And unfortunately, I think that he could get away with it, but I'm going to tell you, there'll be long-standing consequences if they don't act, I think, because they can't have it both ways, Rod. I'm the first guy to say innocent until proven guilty. That's our Constitution. That's the way it ought to be and is, okay? But this guy and all these Democrats, they are so guilty and so quick to just condemn and cancel and do and act this way. One of the big voices in that movement cannot now ask for that kind of consideration, yeah. But it starts to stink a little too much
for people
to watch that behavior yeah. than watch a new face, you know, a new yeah. argument yeah. just surface.
Well, and I think if he hangs around, my opinion, the Me Too movement has no credibility whatsoever. Toss it out the window. No.
Yeah, it's done. I just don't know. I mean, it's been so politicized anyway, but at that point they can't. I just don't know how they ever bring it up. This guy will be
no matter what they say. If you got 170 witnesses and thousands of documents reviewed, and you have 11 women with their testimony out there, I just don't know where you go from there if this doesn't amount to something. I mean, people have been ousted out of, like I said, this Al Franken, the former Saturday Night Live comic and senator from Minnesota, he was out of there for far less of a investigation. I'm not saying less of an offense, but a less of an investigation. He left. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. But before we end this first segment, because I got a lot on my mind, I got to tell you, I've been playing for you and your listeners this phenomenal political commentary coming out of Australia, Sky News, a program called The Outsiders, an opinion guy, an old guy, he doesn't suffer fools lightly, named Alan Jones. They've banned him on YouTube. The big tech oligarchs kicked him out. But you know what I did, Rod? I said, you know what? I don't need YouTube. Now, I was using YouTube as my clips for your program, but I found my workaround. Because why? I'm dedicated to you and your listeners. So I have some clips, because the guy that is most salty about getting canceled by YouTube and getting taken off of the internet is Alan Jones himself, who we've quoted and played his clips on your program many times. Let's listen to this first clip to have him frame. He just said this about 12 hours ago on Sky News to the listener, or to the viewing audience in Australia. Let's hear what he had to say.
If it's fact that matters, whose facts? You've heard me say over and over again what is a certain truth. It should go without saying that for everybody who does become seriously ill with COVID-19, and for the families of those who die, it's a very sad business. But the confusion over the message from government and medical officials and the media has contributed enormously to public uncertainty. And uncertainty leads to fear. You know that from day one I've tried to dismantle the fear and the alarmism. Who were the authors of that fear? Well, some of the people we were told to believe. Politicians and health officials.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
I mean, that sounds like a Rod Arquette show to me. That's what that sounds like. That doesn't sound like something that you got to go ban. The oligarchs have to come raining down and take off the air. But it's those types of things, because Australia's going through, as a country, almost like a penal colony again. They're getting restricted in ways that I can't believe. I have friends that live there. I lived there for 2 years. It's a strange place. Strange things are happening. But they have called this out, as you just heard. And I'm going to play this last clip, and this is him just trying to sum it up to say, look, you know, we have got to be able to tell the truth. People will not find any confidence in what the government and the medical bureaucrats are telling us to do unless we have transparency and can talk this through. Let's play this second clip.
The prophets of doom march on. Those of us who have tried to dismantle alarmism get cancelled. Which prompts the question, doesn't it? What is the agenda? I've told you twice this week when I answered my own question. Where are we today? I think it's simple. I'll say it again. We live in a time when smart people are being silenced so that stupid people won't be offended.
Don't you just love it?
I love
it. It's not hard to know where this man's coming from. You know, you shouldn't be able to censor, because you don't. The truth bombs are just too big. You know, they're just too compelling to the public to hear what this man's saying, that you got to shut him down. Take him off the internet. I'm telling you that they've gone and found this man's commentary, and Sky News has had to pull this off, as well as YouTube itself has taken some of this commentary that I've played for you off of their channel, off the YouTube channel, and they still stand by. He's not blinking. He stands by every single thing he's ever done, but they're going to take it off to try and comply with those rules, because they have a worldwide audience. They have me. I'm watching. I'm appreciating what they're doing, but they're going to take it off. But that news organization, that newsroom at Sky News Australia, they are not saying that what they are taking down was incorrect as is being accused as misinformation. And that's you know, that is the crazy world we live in right now. Candidate Biden said that this new vaccine that was well on its way to being temporarily or under emergency conditions approved, he and Kamala were saying, we don't know that we want to take it because Trump had something to do with it. And it was then candidate Biden's condition that there would have to be absolute transparency for this vaccine to be able to be administered to the American people. And there had to be a robust discussion amongst the medical community as to its benefits, its side effects. He demanded as a candidate that this be a transparent process. He wins, and it is anything but. It is the worst censorship we've ever seen. And they do it under the banner that they want to stop vaccine hesitancy, my goodness, they're creating it by not allowing voices that have serious and honest questions to be asked to have that discussion and have it openly.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy.
Drives me crazy.
All right, Greg, we'll come back segment two with Greg Hughes coming up here on the Rod Arquette Show. We'll talk about a couple of people who are having a birthday today. I wonder who that could be. That's coming up right here on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Now, talk about bad medicine. Let me tell you about some good medicine right now. You know, when Graham Russell of Air Supply realized that, you know, things were getting a little blurry, the vision wasn't quite where it used to be, he realized he needed cataract surgery. And he wasn't just about to turn to anyone to take care of the cataract surgery. He decided on Hoops Vision, Utah's trusted eye surgeon since 2000. They specialize in laser-assisted cataract procedures with premium lenses. Now, those lenses are not only designed to restore vision, but to improve it. And today, Graham says his vision is better than ever. Yours could be, too. All you do, if you have to schedule a cataract evaluation at Hoops Vision. I've had cataract surgery at Hoops Vision as well. And let me tell you what, talk about a professional organization. They are buttoned down. They get you in, they examine you, they put you through a series of tests so they have a real understanding of what's going on with your vision. They schedule your cataract surgery. You're in, you're well taken care of, and you're on your way to improve vision. I've had it done. Graham Russell has had it done. You can have it done as well. All you need to do is contact them today at Hoops Vision. Give them a call at 877-30-LASIK.
That's in-depth consultation, absolutely free. That's 801-441-2266.
Hey, yeah. We're back. We're back!
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
This is your birthday.
Welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show. Greg Hughes joining us. It is a big day today when it comes to birthdays. I know of one person, well, I actually know two people who are having a birthday today. And Greg Hughes, you have a special relationship with one of them, do you not? And I'm assuming I'm assuming it is not Barack Obama.
I am going to tell the listening audience today. Today, August 4th, is a huge day. It is a birthday, and it is a day that we should all. I don't even know why it's not a state holiday, let alone a national holiday. And there's a lot of people out there that might say, well, you must be talking about Barack Obama.
Oh,
August
4th. No.
Barack Obama's birthday? No.
No.
The super duper, all important birthday of August 4th is none other than the queen bee, the big boss of the Hughes home. Krista Hughes, my lovely wife. And
well, happy birthday, Krista. Happy birthday to you.
I tell you, I'm telling you right now that if I forgot this birthday, Rod, there's a lot of things in life I can forget. This is not one of them. I just want you to know. I'm just leading with this segment now that the Queen Bee, it is her day. And if you didn't know it, and if you don't know my wife, you're missing out, and you should, because it's her day. It's not Barack Obama's day. Yeah. He's a side note. But what does this guy do?
Well, hang on a minute. She should be good. What is the highest medal in the land? Isn't it a Congressional Medal of Honor?
I think so.
Yeah. Your wife Your wife should be given one of those to put up with you each and every day.
You know, you had me going. I totally bit. I was like a harp right there. I just took the bait. Swallowed it, and then boom, you just set the hook.
All right, let's talk about Barack.
So then you have these less important people that have birthdays today, like Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Guy still thinks he's a pretty big deal. He kind of still struts around. How do you get a $12 million house? It's not your only house, by the way. You got houses all over the place now. $12 million on Martha's Vineyard, and you never had a job. Your job was community organizer, and you were a state senator in Illinois before you ran, and now you're rolling, with the $12 million Martha's Vineyard home, plus all these other houses, Hawaii and wherever else he is. It's an amazing, the economics of that I'll never understand. However, at that Martha Vineyard estate of his, he was planning a super spreader birthday bash.
Yep,
I mean, this thing was going to be all the rage. They had 475 confirmed guests, over 200 staff, Rod, to you know, to staff and to feed and to facilitate this big birthday bash. And people started wondering, now, wait a minute, we just heard from the CDC that if you're in kindergarten, you got to wear a mask inside that classroom. But if you're Barack Obama, it sounds like you got a pretty big party coming up here. Is there something, something out of whack? So feeling the pressure, and let's make no mistake, this isn't some pang of conscience that hit the Obama family that, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't have this party. I'm telling you, I'm reading the reports. Most of the people that want to attend on Saturday have already arrived
at
Martha's Vineyard.
Yes, so they have.
It's not like the place is empty out there. He only announces today that they're going to scale it back because they can't answer with a straight face how Americans, thus little people that don't go to Martha's Vineyard for former president's parties, how we're supposed to be told to wear masks and do all these extra mandates and take these provisions when you have that many people, the who's who, all the elite, going to this party. Well, then I hear, okay, well, we're going to scale it back. Okay, I heard you mention it as well because it's breaking news today. Well, I don't know if you've seen the images of the preparations that continuing at the Obama estate. These are trucks. They got like the U-Haul trucks rolling up. They've got the catering trucks. If this is scaled back, and I'm sure that it is, you're talking maybe, I don't know, 200 of his closest friends and family. I mean, this isn't going to be a small bash. When they say scaled back, you'd think it's going to be in someone's kitchen, you know, with the family gathered around candles, and you got to hurry and blow them out before the wax gets on the cake. No. They are catering the daylights out of this thing. There are people that are, this thing is still, on this estate, a big bash. They use the word scaled back, but I guarantee you that your listeners, the average everyday people of this country, that word scaled back means a whole heck of a lot different type of birthday party than the one that the Obamas are having.
All right.
Not even close.
In this scaling back, what I want to know, because when they originally set up this big party with maybe 700 people all involved in this, they were going to have what they were calling a COVID coordinator. I'm not sure what that is, but a COVID coordinator. So in a scaled back version of this shebang, are they also going to have a COVID coordinator still running around? I'm just wondering, Greg.
It reminds me of like Julie from Love Boat. You know, she's here. She's going to coordinate it all. How are you feeling? Do you have a temperature? Come on in. How do you even coordinate the hundreds of people and staff that are going to be at this birthday bash? You can't. That's a nice word, fancy title for, you know, another party planner. They're in a club that you and I aren't invited to be a part of. They live in a different world. That is a do as I say, not as I do world. And the only reason they've had to, air quote, scale back is because people are aware. People know that they're having this big of a function. But if you look at the preparations that are continuing this day, the trucks and the work that's going on for that party is not what you and I would call scaled back. It is not. It's not even close to scale back. But this is what I love. So then I'm reading this, and I'm just stewing. You know, I'm looking at what I'm going to talk about today. And I see this headline, the former Obama official wants everyone that's not vaccinated to be on a no-fly list as if you were a terrorist. Truly, this is a straight-faced, I thought this was on The Onion. So I clicked it. It's not. This Obama official, former Obama official, where they're having this big scale-back party today, is saying anybody that's not vaccinated ought to be on a no-fly list, and TSA should be flagging them and stopping them before they can even get in the airport. This is the hypocrisy of the left. This is what we're dealing with. It's what we talked about in the last segment with Governor Cuomo, his hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy of those that say we got to have all these mandates while you catch them when they don't know anyone's looking and they're not doing anything they're telling the rest of us to do. And I'll tell you the guy that's the people right now that are the heroes of this country. You talked about a guy like Governor DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. Every time he says, I'm going to be on the side of liberty and freedom. And in Florida, we're not going to let government, you know, we're not going to let these medical bureaucrats or whatever he's calling them dictate our lives. We believe in freedom. And he makes the greatest point. So today, because I guess Biden yesterday said that DeSantis needs to get out of the way.
Their
job and shut down the virus, as he promised. Governor DeSantis makes the perfect point. And he says, look, I'm not getting in your way. You said you wanted to shut down this virus. You've let 600,000 people come across our border undocumented. And by the way, that means you don't have a vaccine card. Okay, no vaccine card on about 600,000 people that have illegally entered the United States since he took office in January. You've got that wave of people coming in, unscreened, unvaccinated. We don't know the situation they're in. They're putting them on planes to put them in the interior of the country.
Yeah,
there are people that are coming on buses. And he's saying, look, if you really don't want to see this virus spread, how about some extra precautions on the border? instead of going after the kindergartners, the 20 of them sitting in the classroom, or the kids in the elementary school. I don't think this is your big problem.
No.
And I love that he has the guts
to do
it. Say that and to say it distinctly. Every time the Democrats criticize him, you can cut and paste the criticism. It always sounds the same. And then time proves him right.
Yeah,
you know, he goes with the science, and he points it out.
He sure does. All right, we got to go, man.
Cut off. I hear the music coming already. I had more to say. I need another segment, Rod.
Happy birthday to your wonderful wife, and we'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks.
Happy birthday to Krista, honey. Coming home.
All right. Greg Hughes joining us every Wednesday at this time to share his thoughts on what's going on around the world and in this wonderful...
Internet. Go to Xfinity.com. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today to get started. Restrictions apply.
Put me on a highway, the interstate, a dirt road. Any place, long as I'm long gone, chasing down some blue skies in my old truck. Tune the world out, turn the radio up, sing along to my freedom song.
The Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
It was just last week that we were taking some of your comments here on the Rod Arquette Show about the idea of mandating that women register for the draft. The Senate, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Jack Reed, who is a Democrat, has proposed that. And there was a lot of input. Most of it saying, no, we don't want to go there. Well, joining us on our newsmaker line to talk more about that is Valerie Hudson. Valerie is a university distinguished professor and George H.W. Bush chair and the professor of international affairs there at Texas A&M University. She's joining us on our newsmaker line to talk about this article she wrote in the Deseret News, talking about the fact that she's a feminist, but she doesn't think women belong in the draft. And she's on our show right now. Valerie, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Rod.
You say you're a feminist, but you don't want women in the draft. Why not?
They're already drafted.
How so?
If they were subject to selective service, that would be two drafts if they were subject to, which is unfair.
How are they already in the draft, in your opinion, then, Valerie?
Several ways. When we talk about what we need in order to survive as a nation, yeah, we definitely need protection, and we're absolutely grateful to soldiers who provide it. But we also need a future, and it is the blood, sweat, and tears of women that provide that future. And they provide it not only at great physical cost, but they provide it at great economic cost as well. In fact, I think that's been laid plain by the COVID pandemic, where an army of mothers were drafted into making up all of the shortfalls that the lockdown caused, and as a result, have definitely suffered economically.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that women sacrifice more than men in this country. Explain that one to me.
Well, now I want to make sure that you understand we're talking about apples and apples, not apples and oranges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what have been the sex-specific things that people have done. Well, the sex-specific thing that men have done is to go to war, all right, and defend the country. The sex-specific thing that women have done is to provide the country a future. So when we just compare those two, Rod, I think even if we're just talking about death, definitely women have shouldered more of the burden. Let me give you an example. I was running some numbers before we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
From 1900 to 1945, the years in which we had World War I and World War II, we had approximately 345,000 battle deaths by U.S. soldiers in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Maternal mortality, 472,500 women. And if we just looked at the last 20 years, Rod, from 2000 to 2020, of course, battle deaths are very down, 5,600. Over that same time period, we've had, even though maternal mortality is also down, 12,300 women have died.
And that would be in the United States alone, Valerie?
That's right.
Wow. Well, I thought maternity or maternal mortality would be down. You say it's down, but it still exists in this country. I don't think people realize that, do they?
Oh, and they may not realize that of all of what we would call the richer countries, the more developed countries, we are dead last. And our maternal mortality is actually getting worse. No other wealthy developed country's maternal mortality is getting worse. Ours is. It's climbing.
Why? Do we know why?
Yeah, there's poor maternal care in our country and poor coverage, especially of mothers in poverty, insurance coverage. So it's actually a scandal. In Texas, where I'm from, we have one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the entire nation.
You write about this as well, and I want to ask you about this. Why are the reproductive burdens and caregiving sacrifices of women, why are they invisible in our society?
You know, Rod, I have asked myself that question for 30 years. You know, when you run the figures, and it's just plainly obvious, right, that mm-hmm. women have really sacrificed a lot for this nation. And the fact that there's no memorials or monuments to these women who have died, whereas you can rattle off the number of generals and monuments to soldiers that you have probably seen in our country. It's totally invisible. I can only think that perhaps the death of women is seen as unremarkable, natural, par for the course.
Wow.
And not something heroic. And certainly, I think we've seen this again, talking about the economic sacrifices during COVID. All right, I think the government locked us down without a thought for what that would mean for women. Women just were expected to suck it up. Did you know, Rod, that about 80% of those who haven't gotten their jobs back after the COVID lockdown are women?
Yeah, I have seen that number. It's pretty amazing. How far do you think this discussion of having women sign up for the draft will go?
Oh, I have a feeling that it's already in the defense authorization. I wouldn't be surprised if it went through.
Really?
But I was going to raise my voice before it went through and say, can we really look at this? Can you see that women are already drafted? And what you're asking them to do is to do a double duty.
Hmm.
And I wanted that to be part of the debate.
Yeah, well, very interesting article, Valerie. Thank you for joining us for a few minutes of your time. And safe travels back to the Lone Star State. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. On our Newsmaker line, Valerie Hudson. She is with the University Distinguished Professor and George H.W. Bush Chair, Professor of International Affairs there at Texas A&M University down there in College Station, Texas. More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know, the COVID-19 Task Force here in the state of Utah has asked me to share some information with you tonight about things that you should know about the COVID-19 vaccine. First question that comes up quite often, will I experience long-term side effects from the vaccine? Now, the COVID-19 Task Force says it's very unlikely. While it's true, we don't have years of data on the COVID-19 vaccines, we do have hundreds of years of knowledge about the human body and vaccinations. Plus, because COVID-19 affected millions of people around the world at the same time, scientists got to study the effects of the vaccine on hundreds of thousands of people with different backgrounds and different levels of health. They say they've got data that normally would have taken years to get. If you look at the history of all vaccinations, almost every long-term side effect from the vaccination shows up between 6 to 8 weeks after the vaccine clinical trials ended. That's why the FDA requires a waiting time of at least 60 days after the end of a clinical trial before an emergency use authorization can be given, and that's what we're under right now. Now, if you have any questions about COVID-19 and what can be done here in the state of Utah and what's being done, guidelines, go to their website.
Like summer, these hot tubs are going fast. Bullfrog Spas, peaceful body, peaceful mind, peaceful home.
All right, welcome back. Final few minutes of the Rod Arquette Show on this Wednesday here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen and you will know. A couple of COVID-19 notes for you. I love this story. I love when people stand up to elected officials. I really do. I admire their courage. The school board in Floyd Municipal Schools in New Mexico voted unanimously Monday evening to reject Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's COVID-19 mandates for the next year. I mean, this is a very small school. Grisham's administration had previously threatened the Floyd School Board that refusing to follow state requirements for schools would result in the termination of each board member. She threatened to fire him. Well, the Floyd Board believes that the governor lacks the legal authority to make good on her threat. The board president, his name is Leon Knoll, said, "I believe this is a victory for the state of New Mexico." The board voted 5-0, according to the Eastern New Mexico News, to tell the governor to take a flying leap, basically. Floyd, a very rural town of approximately 100 people, it educates roughly 225 students from kindergarten through high school each year in the school system. And approximately 100 people showed up at the meeting on Monday, the board meeting, and dozens spoke, urging the board to continue battling the governor's masking requirements and other COVID-19 mandates for the school board and the school district. And that's exactly what they did. They voted 5-0. This is a very small school district. But they stood up to that governor there in New Mexico, a very Democratic, liberal governor. Name was mentioned possible as a VP candidate at one time, and told her, "You know what? We're going to do what you told us." And they voted 5-0 to reject it. Oh, how often do you see this? The editor-in-chief of Germany's top newspaper, it's called Bild, has apologized for the news outlet's fear-driven coverage of COVID-19, specifically to children who were told that they were going to murder their grandma if they didn't wear a mask. And the editor apologized to his readers, said, "Obviously, we went too far in our fear-driven COVID coverage." I wonder if you'll ever see that here in the U.S. Probably not, right? All right, that does it for us tonight. Head up, shoulders back. May God bless you and your family. Thanks for joining us.